Item number three is an application for subdivision rezoning at 740 John Bruce East under file DASZ 29 of 2011. The applicant is Jackie East.
Jackie East. Let the record... Welcome, Jackie.
Hello, thank you.
Before you start, let the record show that the report says 740 John Bruce Road East, St. Vital Ward. It's not. It's St. Boniface. But...
They're just redrawing the boundaries.
They're redrawing the boundaries already. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'll just... This is an application for seven single-family, one-story bungalow dwellings on the property. The tenure is intended to be condominium, and that is to ensure a collective stewardship of the land and the property over time, and to minimize the impact on infrastructure on what is sensitive lands. And we've read the planner's report, and everything is it's all good.
Was it well written?
It was well written. Well done, Robert. So I have nothing further to add unless there's any questions.
I think we want to hear some comments.
Yeah,
and you'll get
questions.
A chance to rebut
back
at the end.
Okay. Thank
sure.
you.
Yeah, I'll get you at the end. Okay. We have quite a few people registered. So that was Jackie East in support and the applicant. Same thing, you can come down and make a presentation, or you can register your support or your opposition, or just for information, you don't have to come down. In support, Al Degner. In support. Cheryl Hemming. In support as well, Frank Curtis. Frank. In support with conditions, Guy Préfontaine. Guy? Would you like to come down? Yep. Welcome, Guy.
Thank you very much, Councillor. Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Guy Préfontaine.
Is that the hab sweater you're wearing under there?
Yes.
we have a team again, you know.
Your true colors
we have a team in Winnipeg again, you know.
Well, that's what we're celebrating. Bringing people back to play our team.
Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Guy Préfontaine. I reside at 139 Wilmington Drive, which is right adjacent to the site in question. We're glad that the project is being developed and is being moved forward by Hilton Homes, by the way. We were here 6 years ago questioning the same project, which is substantively similar, and we had some concerns. We were quite displeased when it was rejected in 6 years ago and did move forward, because we do want to see residential development in the neighborhood. The conditions of the support are that we consider having less units on the site. Currently, there is one home residing that site. There has been for the entire history of the project. The allowable zoning would allow for three homes on the site, which would triple the density in the passages on the site. And the request is for seven, which would be seven times what is currently occupied and over twice and a bit the allowable. The concerns we're raising is because with having lived on the site, we know that we have the John Bruce walking bridge, the new multimodal path that comes down in Bois des Esprits. It comes into an irregular cul-de-sac. The cul-de-sac itself is very, very highly frequented by cars. It's also frequented by my kids and a number of other kids who play street hockey, sponge, and all that, as well as by people coming on their bikes off the bridge in the multimodal path and on John Bruce. So we realize that there is going to be some level of conflict with traffic. We'd like to mitigate it so that people do not get hurt, because as it is now, when people do come off the bridge, they don't look and they come right into the cul-de-sac, and we know that there would be a danger there for pedestrians, for bicyclists, for all sorts of people.
When people are coming from the west over from...
Correct.
The bridge is a walking bridge, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So yeah. You're mostly talking cyclists?
We got a lot of cyclists, rollerbladers, skateboarders, all sorts of people coming there, and coming because of the nature of what they're on, coming right onto the streetway, as well as, you know, young kids on bikes who aren't very savvy with street rules.
Okay.
That's the concern.
That's your concern?
Yeah.
Okay. That's okay. Well, that seems manageable.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, these are, I've gone through the folks registered in support. Is there anybody else in support whose name I haven't mentioned? I'll move over to the other side. In opposition, Peter Pearson. Peter, would you just register your opposition? Okay. Judy Aubert, Gary Aubert. Register your opposition? Okay. Bradley Brown, in opposition. Bradley, state your name and address.
Yes, I'm Bradley Brown. I live at 740 John Bruce Road.
740?
740.
Okay, you're...
Pardon me, 750.
750.
Sorry, yeah. I got 740
right,
on the
brown. Right beside the subject property.
Right beside, yeah.
Okay.
So good evening, councillors, ladies and gentlemen. We were here 6 years ago talking about the same property, and the issues in some ways are the same, and in some ways they're actually different. The first and foremost issue that I would bring up is safety, and that's because of the cul-de-sac. If you look at page 12 of the package that the city put together on this file, you'll see a picture of the cul-de-sac. And there's a few things I'd like to describe about that that are important for everybody to know, because while we were here 6 years ago, I think at least two of the councillors present were not here for that. If you look at page 12, you'll see a few important things. Number one, the cul-de-sac looks like a cul-de-sac, and to my knowledge, there's no proposal to change the structure of the turnaround that's there right now. Traffic, pedestrian, bicycle, etc., all comes across that bridge, which is now a pedestrian and bicycle-only bridge. And you've got all of the people that are inside of Royal Wood. There's basically no retail, so all the kids very commonly will go across that bridge because of the walking path that's adjacent to it, the feed down John Bruce into the rest of the development, and the fact that there's lots of retail on St. Anne's on the other side of that bridge. Very commonly you will see people go right off of the bridge eastbound and go right into the middle of the cul-de-sac. It happens all the time. I know it's not what people are supposed to do, but I live there. I can tell you it happens all the time. The other thing that I think that's very important to point out, and I'm not sure if you can see it too clearly from the page 12 picture, which is an aerial view, and that is from that bridge, while walking eastbound in the summer when the leaves are on the trees, you do not see the existing home that's on that property. 6 years ago, I had gathered a petition on this site, and that's also something that's not in the history that's on this file. I got over 350 signatures from people asking that the city consider only subdivision and not rezoning, which would allow a maximum of three homes on the property. And a key factor was the safety. Many of the people that I asked identified my home as the last home on John Bruce, on the east side of the bridge. Many of them. In fact, I would say most of them did. And in fact, as I say, the issue is you get traffic coming across that bridge in the summer, which is when we get most of our traffic, because most of us don't like walking when it's minus 30. You come across, you don't even see that existing structure, and that existing structure is the structure that would be in the current plan, and because of the geometry, would be the closest to being visible. Everything else would actually be even harder to see because it's further away. So you get people coming right across into that cul-de-sac, and any traffic that would be coming out of it can cause a hazard. And because of the walking paths that are going through there, there's a walking path that goes all the way up to the north along the St. River, and then there's a lots of traffic that heads towards the east down John Bruce, going to Le Bois d'Esprit and the access there. in the 6 years since the last application, there's only more people using it. So the risk is actually greater. I do understand and appreciate that the this proposal is for seven units instead of eight. I'll admit that is a drop in density, but it is only the minimum possible drop in density, one. And I really do think that it needs to be considered to go further than that. The other thing I will say is even the traffic flow on that cul-de-sac right now with just the two properties, mine and the adjacent property that's the home that exists presently at 740, it can be kind of difficult because you'll come into the cul-de-sac to go in and someone is sitting on the right-hand side of the cul-de-sac, and then they'll turn and start coming back at you, and they're sort of like, well, what are you doing? You're going backwards around the cul-de-sac. Well, and the answer is that we're really headed into what is an access road. Turning this this area into something that has significant density is only going to make that problem worse. I do want to say that, at the last committee meeting, on this file, that the committee offered five and the developer turned it down. I do want to indicate that, my friend Guy Prefontaine had indicated that he's in support with conditions. I do kind of agree with that. I'd like there to be an appropriate level of development here, but I think eight was too many. I think seven is also too many. However, there are some other issues that I'd want to talk about. In order to deal with this issue, I will say that I applaud the fact that this file indicates that the developer is indicating the use of an electronically controlled gate to calm traffic entering into the cul-de-sac. I think that's a great thing. However, reading through the file, I see some issues with it. You will see in a couple of places in the file, if you look at pages 8 and 18, you'll see that the city has put right in the recommendations that there be caveats put in place to require that owners and future owners make sure that there are either bollards or fences to separate their land from the PR1 zoned lot that's to be created as part of this development. And I'm not against that. Keeping them from going and mowing, the river bottom forest, okay, great. But we've got that in here for caveats to protect the forest land. But what about the access issues and the safety into the cul-de-sac? There's nothing on the file that says anything about that, other than it's suggested that the developer will do this. So I think to expect that the safety of all of the pedestrians, bicyclists, et cetera, using the area, because it's been developed in order to encourage all that traffic in those ways, and I'm not talking about cars, I'm talking about the kids and the bicycles and the pedestrians, I think we owe at least a similar level of protection, if not greater protection. And I would like to see something done on that. Another issue that I would like to bring up, and it's to the issue of controls. The present zoning allows for a maximum of three to be put on on that site if it's actually subdivided. The requested zoning actually allows for considerably more. I forget the number offhand. I think it might be something like 85. And so what I really worry about is that the zoning will get changed, and then a proposal will come, and instead of 7, it'll be 10, or it'll be 15, and it's like, oh, that's not even an eighth of what's allowed by the zoning. So I'm very concerned about the possibility of creep on this. And the last thing that I would like to say is on the topic of environmental impact, which was another theme in the presentations that I made 6 years ago. The property is got a lot of trees on it. The riverbank, it's hard to tell from the picture, but it actually goes down quite steeply in a number of places. And the previous proposal with eight homes on the lot had many of the homes, I believe 3 out of the 8, were drawn in a way that you could put your back to the property, take one step, and you'd already be starting to go down the riverbank. This has been dropped, admittedly, from 8 to 7. But that's not that big a change. I know that the proposal now is that there be a private road. Looked at the drawings, the impact on the area required for the roads has really not substantially changed. I do applaud that it perhaps allows for some controls that individual lots may not. But when you look at the potential impact of all of those properties, and it also mentions specifically bungalows, at the sort of prices that these things are likely to sell for, they're not going to be small homes. They're going to be cutting down a lot of trees to make room for any yard, any place to park a car, etc. So once again, it goes to the issue of density. And I know that the file indicates that there are similar high-density properties in the neighborhood. I have a few things to say about that. One of them is that it is zoned and has been zoned for a long time, effectively R1E. Originally it was R120, but the designation has changed, but the rules, I think, are pretty similar. And if you look on the Royalwood side of the river, try and find anything that's high density that's that tight into the river anywhere. I don't think you'll find it. You'll find that it's been left as forest all along the river. So I don't think that the precedent is really the same.
So, okay.
I think that's it.
Thank you, Brad. Any questions?
No, I think that was succinct and to the point.
One of the recommendations, Brad, is Bradley, is a 2A, 2A2. Is that the maximum number of dwelling units on the land, if this were to be approved, RMS, not to exceed 7 dwelling units. So any fear that it could go above that is not going to happen.
Anybody can always make an application.
Yeah.
But it would have to go
future,
through a public
yeah.
hearing process the same
just
as
like
you're hearing
this.
Today.
Yes, but do understand that at that time, instead of facing a situation where it's zoned to hold 3 structures and now an owner's asking for 7, we could be in a situation where, oh, it's now zoned for 70 or 80 and, oh, we're only asking for 15.
You could say that of any property.
No, but he's saying under the RMS that it's even though it's only 7 on this, under RMS, there's enough land there.
RMS, yeah. The zoning that's being proposed does allow for a considerable increase in density,
I think
even over the 7.
I think a significant larger number of people out in opposition. If you're getting into that type of creep, then you're seeing today.
I would hope so.
I appreciate where the comments coming from.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for your presentation. As far as the issue with the cul-de-sac and the bicycles and the people walking, I'm going to talk to the administration. We have 2 other people, so I'll finish this first.
Yeah, because I want to talk a bit about
that. 3 other people. Okay, no, Brad Brown. For information, James and Cynthia Erickson. Register for information. And for information, Gilbert and Elsie DeChambeau. Okay. Now, is there anybody else who hasn't filled out one of these forms or would like to speak? For, against, or for information? Seeing nobody. Okay, the applicant, Jackie. Come back. You can rebut anything that's been presented. You can't present any new information at this point.
Okay. Well, the 3 items that I'll respond to are the density, traffic and safety, and the environment. Those are 3 issues I'm certainly aware of. Met with Mr. Brown on a couple of occasions and a couple of the other neighbors. And so we've been trying to address those, and I'll tell you how. First of all, the density. The density of the site is actually results in 2 units per acre of gross land. Even if I take away all the streets, public, common space, it's still 3.6 units per acre. So it's still a pretty decent suburban density, certainly not up there with the targets of 4 and more. In fact, the R120 zoning, which is 20,000 square feet per lot, if you use the gross area, it would allow over like 7.2 units. And even if net after the Seine River land's taken away, it would still allow over like five units. So I don't think we're out of touch with the density here. It does seem to fit the overall plan the city has. Secondly, the traffic and safety. These are, overall, I think this is a vacant site that has been subject to some fires and some other mischievous concerns, and it's also a site that's been dumped on over the years. So this, the development's actually going to improve that part of the safety of actually inhabiting this site. Also, one of the conversations about the traffic and the safety, particularly about this, the end of the cul-de-sac and that concern about cars coming out onto the cul-de-sac with the pedestrian bridge there, what the developer determined would actually work sort of a win-win is determined to put in an actual security gate and it would be concealed within the development so that card access only, those cars would be at a full stop before they entered onto the cul-de-sac. So that was the response to that particular issue.
Is that, obviously that's both ways?
Yeah, that'd be both ways. You'd need to card access in and out. So the cars would be at a full stop at the entrance to the property. This is the developer's, one of the points is it is his retirement home that he's building on this property. So this is a developer that is actually living on the property, and the seven units involve, the economics that are required to make development of such a challenging site possible. And the third issue was the environment. And in fact, the developer specifically hired myself and Cheryl Hemming, our biologist, Dylan, to help right from the onset to look at the land first. So the first thing was build a low-impact development and respect the Seine River and all that means, and also naturalize as much as possible. So in fact, all the trees, all vegetation on the site have actually been inventoried and GPSed, and where possible, the developer is looking to incorporate that into the features of the development as he goes forward. And the other feature, by doing an actual bungalow condominium site, what that has allowed is it's allowed a smaller scale of infrastructure to be installed. Because the condominium will be directly responsible for the infrastructure themselves, it means that they can build a somewhat smaller street that's asphalt instead of concrete, much less load on the riverbank. So, and the intent is to actually naturalize the stormwater flows so that there's not this sort of really active activity into the Seine River. So all of that is part of the engineering which would come through.
So relative to the PR1 lands, will the public have access to that off of the east side of John Bruce?
Well, I guess technically they could walk into those lands. As has been mentioned, the slope is quite steep of the lands there, and it's not very usable from a trail perspective. However, it's all still there. Some of it on the west of the property is river bottom forest, and that's still to be enjoyed by people using the river.
Right, okay. And when you get around to the other side, the easterly part of the PR1 lands, something I forgot to ask Mr. Brown, whether there's public access at the bottom of his land, or does it end there?
Right now, Mr. Brown's land does go to the river.
To the river, okay.
To be fair, I think there's been conversations with Mr. Brown in the past about what if a trail went through, so... right now, the properties to the east, and pardon me if it's two or three, perhaps the planner knows, they are still privately owned right to the river right now. So it would be more than the trail that's been built is quite established to the north and toward the east and to the Bois des Esprits. Cheryl Hemming and I did meet with SOS to talk about this development and talk about what may make sense and get their advice, and that was also an input before it was designed.
Okay. Councillor Swindell, any questions?
Yeah, around the issue of cyclists and children coming and going off the walking bridge, would the developer have any problem with signage or such safety measures that as are required to the satisfaction of the Director of Property and Development or Parks, whoever it is that we would use in our...
Like perhaps a sign just outside the entrance, sort of like watch for, like a watch.
Well, yeah, but even for the folks on bikes, like we just installed part of the Bishop Grandin Greenway where like people come off and onto one of the off ramps onto Bishop Grandin, and it's one of the issues is that everybody thinks of signage from the traffic perspective. They don't think of it from the user, the active transportation perspective. They think of it from the automobile perspective. So I think there's some opportunities to do a bit more here. I don't know if we need to go as far, but I'm assuming that there wouldn't be much reluctance on the part of the developer to.
I don't think so.
And the electronic gates, you don't have a problem with that being one of the actual recommendations in the report?
No, I think we talked with that, the neighbors, and it seemed like it actually made a lot of sense. It is probably a retirement folks living here, and so it kind of makes sense for both parties.
The safety piece is the issue.
No, right? That's the only issue. It sounds like
the density, we can all sit here and argue density day in, day out.
Okay.
You want to comment on the potential safety issues coming off the bridge? Or?
We didn't have anything that was raised in our ACG meeting with the parks or any directive like that.
I know, Robert, the issue that we had on Bishop Grandin, it was the users that brought the issue forward. Our people didn't pick up on it. Mm-hmm. And they are actually addressing it, and they're coming forward with some signage and stuff. I think it's just as simple as having the active transportation coordinator review the site and make recommendations that would enhance the safety.
Yeah, and we also, the parks planner always discusses the application with the Save Our Sane people, and they didn't raise any issues as well. So we think we might have got some of the trail users through for some of this, but maybe they didn't speak to us specifically. It may just not have been talked about. I don't know.
Okay.
Anything else?
Thank you. Not for me. Nope. I think we're fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Now we can...
I'm assuming you want me to take the chair, Councillor.
Sure.
Page 5.
I'll move the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor, contrary, carried.
Receipt of representations be concluded.
All those in favor, contrary, carried.